So back to working at your own pace and doing what will be most helpful for you in your practice. Let's see, two things to work with. One is just understanding the instructions clearly. So one is just making sure you've got clear instructions, and that might be something that's making the practice challenging. Another thing is needing to absorb what's going on. Just need to understand what your own pace is. And sometimes if things seem really ungrounded, especially as we start to do Dharma Vachaya work or Vipassana Bhavana work, what we really need to do is strengthen the samatha aspect. One question is how much samatha is needed before one can fruitfully do Vipassana Bhavana work. And there's a range of opinions about this in the Buddhist tradition. There's one that says, well, you should easily be able to be in dhyana, and from the first dhyana you would do this work when you're completely steeped in all these dhyana factors and the mind is very stable. And then you got at the other end of the spectrum Nagarjuna, who sometimes referred to as talking about dry insight, in that he didn't really emphasize dhyana. And I guess you could say dry from the standpoint, I guess, if my image of samatha, kind of making the earth more pliable, making the soil, like rain, making the earth more pliable. But he was very much through the analytical and using the intellect kind of door. Yeah, so he didn't really emphasize dhyana at all. And then you've also got people that talk about momentary concentration, that you only need to be concentrated long enough to see what it is you're trying to understand clearly. Only long enough to see something arising and falling away, and then you can catch impermanence in that one moment. So there's a range of opinions in the Buddhist tradition. I think it's safe to say that the more concentrated and stable the mind is, the more that will help you in the work and have it take root. Because if the mind's flighty, whatever happens when the mind's flighty also flies away. I also don't think you need to be fully in dhyana. And if you wait to be fully in dhyana, you may never get in dhyana for some temperaments. I actually think some temperaments actually need. I sometimes wonder if it's the hate types. It sounds so awful to say the hate types, but there's also the greed types and the delusion types. So none is value judgment better or worse than the other. But sometimes I wonder, and this is my own speculation about hate types, that it's through the wisdom door. Yeah, it's through using the intolerance of delusion that the hate types break through into enlightenment. I can sometimes think that people need enough to interest them intellectually. We're very intellectually based in this culture too. Not everybody, but there's a lot of that emphasis. So enough to satisfy an interest, that part of ourselves. What's enough? Something as simple as this experience is changing. That could be enough. It doesn't have to be a really convoluted formula, dharmic formula, yeah. But just enough to interest you in the nature of what's happening and keep you there. So that's how much do you need in theory? I actually think the FWBO approach of building a samatha base is very wise. At some point you need instruction to know what to do from that samatha base, yeah? And so we've got this instruction. And also if you're just learning how to meditate, it's good to know what to do if the moment presents itself where you could be adding a little bit more reflection into your practice. But if you're fairly new to meditation, you're probably going to need to do a lot of work with the four stages of the mindfulness of breathing or with the breath. It doesn't have to be those four stages totally rigidly, each one lasting exactly 10 minutes. Using the breath as an object of concentration that you're becoming aware of. And those four stages are very helpful for that, or can be. Sometimes, like on retreat, you don't need to necessarily use the counting if you feel like you can be aware of the breath quite directly. So that's what I mean, not always the exact four stages. The first contemplation is enough in a way. If you add impermanence to the first two contemplations about being aware of the breath, it's kind of enough. Like you could probably get enlightened from there. Give it enough time to cook on the burner. So it's important not to add craving to our practice of the sutta, yeah? Like grasping, I need to have all these contemplations, I need to practice all 16. That can come up. So then just to clarify, practicing the eight. Even though the breath is only the exclusive object in the first two contemplations, we don't stop breathing. I hope you figured this out already. We don't stop breathing for the rest of them. Are we missing any retreatants? So the breath's there always as a support. In a way, it's kind of like an anchor. And mindfulness with breathing. So we're breathing, and as we're breathing, we turn our attention to different aspects of our experience. So in the third and fourth, as we're breathing, we become aware of the body. Mindfulness with the body, with breathing. Does that make sense? So you're breathing, you're experiencing the whole body. We're sensitive to the whole body, and we might notice a process of calming by being willing to be aware of the whole body as it is. So we're noticing how the breath and the body and the mind, actually, all affect each other in these simple instructions to breathe sensitive to the whole body and calming the whole body. Okay, so then we went into the next tetrad, the Vedana tetrad, okay? So still breathing. Keep breathing. I feel that in aerobics used to crack me up. One trains oneself sensitive to rapture. So I'm breathing. I also have a body. This is all going on in daily life. So it's not like it's gotten more complicated. We're just becoming aware of it, okay? Still breathing. Still got a body. Now you're noticing. Now you're noticing, particularly within that experience, piti, which might be pleasurable, somewhere along the spectrum of pleasurable bodily or physical sensations, just content to be there, and there's some little bit of sense of excitement or bubbliness about that contentment, as opposed to a little more still, which is later. And it might be a little bit more mental rather than physical, so it might be just, wow, I was able to be with the breath and the body, and here I am with the breath and the body, and I think this is working. Something's happening. I've been here 4 days, something's different. Okay, that kind of sense of satisfaction that something's happening. Okay, still breathing, still the body. Then, we need this on video, don't we? Then, breathing in, breathing out, I've noticed this piti. Then I just particularly notice a more subtle form of pleasant Vedana that may or may not be there, but I'm just receptive to it. So in a way, the breath is very important now, right? Because we're not trying to fabricate or force any experience. We're not trying to fabricate sukha. We're not waiting either. I think this is something very important I want to say. If you feel like you're waiting for something to happen, this practice is about what's happening now. So waiting is a good sign that we're not experiencing what's happening, okay? There's a waiting room, it's out there. You're here, no waiting. So just sensitive to sukha. Contentment, it's much more still. It doesn't have that bubbliness to it. And it may or may not be there. So what we're aware of, the instruction says, one trains oneself sensitive to sukha, I breathe in, sensitive to sukha, I breathe out. So it's like just aware of the breath, coming and going is a light way of staying present. And a sense of openness of awareness that's sensitive to sukha. It's almost like you've got this field of awareness, and if it was a radar, it'd be tuned into the sukha frequency. And if sukha arose, you get a little beep, beep, beep. And it gets louder when it gets stronger. So you get beep, 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 beep. Then I'm just breathing. Beep, 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 beep. Breathing. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, like that. It's from being aware of the breath in the body that we give rise to the conditions for piti and sukha to arise. So if we just abandon that and go into grasping and wanting something, we lose the whole basis upon which it can arise. Being aware of the breath, being present and using the body as our home for the practice, so we're not floating all over. Just inhabit your body and breathe. And from being present, that's where piti and sukha arise. They don't arise. You still got a breath and a body, and just notice that. So then we got on to sensitive to mental processes. The literal word for this is the mind conditioner. Okay, so we're looking at Vedana as it conditions the mind, how feelings condition the mind. So we tried to just even notice what a pleasant, painful, or neutral Vedana was. So it's not just a verbal definition. We try to find it in our experience. And then we also notice how that conditions the mind. So it arises something pleasant. Does it condition the mind so the mind grasps and wants it, that experience to continue? So is there a contraction? Or are we aware of it and we're just aware of it and we're aware of it coming and going? So just letting it be. And we're noticing the flavor of those experiences. So it's Vedana and also how we respond to it as we notice it. We're also responding to it all the time. It's happening all the time. We're just noticing this aspect of our experience. And the calming mental processes, We're not trying to force calming. We can't force the feelings to do anything. All we can do is be aware. And that act of awareness, it's our relationship to all this going on that's going to calm. It's not the feelings that are going to calm. We might experience it as a qualitative shift. Like all of a sudden, all the feelings became neutral. But in a way, the most important thing, which is where we can act, is that we're not panicking. We're not hitting the panic button, and we're not hitting the addiction button. We're not just freaking out and running around all over the place. Even if you're sitting still, you know, freaking out and running around all over the place internally. So that's the eighth, still breathing. You might be quite new to experiencing Vedana, so it might be that the breath and body is still really your anchor. Then you're kind of like adjusting the dial, trying to pick up, well, what's a Vedana, right? So you're like, breathing, what is a Vedana? What's a pleasant Vedana? And then you might find something, you know, oh, beep, 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 beep. Oh, okay, that's a pleasant Vedana. Beep, 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 oh, that's an unpleasant Vedana. Okay?